The opinions expressed on all WRCA programs are those of the program producers and do not express the views of WRCA, its staff, or management. This is 1330 WRCA Watertown, Boston, a Beasley Broadcast Group station.
This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love. Heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars we're under. Oh, is it any wonder I'm in the mood for love? Why stop to think of whether this little dream might fade? We put our hearts together, now we are one. I'm not afraid if there's a cloud above. If it should rain, we'll let it, but for tonight, forget it. Little dream might fade. Oh, we've put our hearts together. Now we are one. I'm not afraid if there's a cloud above. If it should rain,
was Francis Langford from a 1935 recording. And while I may not be in the mood for love, we are in the mood to have a nifty guest and to talk about the vintage days of radio and those great sets from days of yesteryear. We here at Tube Talk are dedicated to the preservation of antique radios, good music, and to the people who enjoy them. My name is Paul Burish, and thanks for joining us tonight. I will be your host for hopefully a fun, informative, and swell hour of radio right here, 1330 AM WRCA on the glorious Standard Broadcast Band.
Whether you are here or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander, I'm growing fonder of you. Even though your friends forsake you, even though you don't succeed, wouldn't I be glad to take you, give you the break you need? More than you know, more than you know, man of my heart, I love you so. Lately I find you're on my mind more. Loving may be all you can give, but honey, I can't live without it. Oh, how I'd cry, how I'd cry, if you got tired and said goodbye. More than I'd show, more than you'd ever know.
Mildred Bailey from a 1936 recording, More Than You Know, and apparently that was on the chart for 36 weeks. I believe it peaked, 2 weeks on the charts, peaked at number 15. That was back in 1936, and she was an interesting case. Apparently she was not the most attractive of the songbirds of her day, and she said once, "Seems to me I've got the sort of voice that should be listened to more than looked at," and that's a motto I take very seriously myself, because if they ever make the movie version of Tube Talk now with John Candy being departed, I'm not quite sure who's going to play me. Anyway, here's what we've been waiting for, gang. Coming up very soon, February 19th, Sunday, 2012, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. It's Radio 43. You've heard us talk about this before. It will be at the Westford Regency Inn in the Lodge Ballroom, Westford, Mass. $10 admission. This is a great radio show, one of the bigger events up here in the Northeast. We've all been waiting for it, and this is brought to you by the New England Antique Radio Club. So again, that's Sunday, February 19th, 2012. $10 to get in. 8 a.m. to 12 noon, and you can see a whole heap of antique radios available for your purchase. You'll meet a lot of interesting characters, guys who love to collect them, restore them, also some gals, people who still like to listen to them, and it's a fun day, so we all look forward to it. It breaks up the winter a little bit up in the Northeast up here, so we'd encourage you to come on out. We'd love to see you. We'll be there with a table for the New England Antique Radio Club. If you have any questions about the club, and you may meet some of the people who we've had onto the program as well. So we hope to see you there. Don't forget.
Thank you.
Rhapsody in Blue, an abbreviated version done by Glenn Miller, a piece we're so very fond of here on Tube Talk. Well, we're very pleased tonight to have with us from the Antique Radio Club of Illinois a special guest. Barry Janov is one of the founding members of the Antique Radio Club of Illinois, which is a good-sized club. And I just got my nifty newsletter because I have a pal out that way who was kind enough to sign me up to receive the newsletter. And I must say I'm very impressed. I enjoyed the story, Barry, on the phone vision, sort of an early version of cable TV that Zenith was pursuing. But I love the magazine. And welcome aboard. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Paul.
Well, maybe you can give us a little background, because from what I understand, you were in on the very start in the founding the club out there. How did you guys start out? What was your membership when you first started out, which was, what, about 1980, from what I understand?
1980, yes. Well, what's happened is I had met a collector when I first started collecting in, I think it was about 1978, and we had heard that there was going to be a meeting of the Antique Radio Club of America, which is now part of AWA. And in 1979, they had their national conference here, and it was run by Dr. Ralph Muckow. And we went there, and our eyes opened up because we had never seen so many radios in one place. So afterward, we decided, you know, this is a great idea. We've got to have one of these or have a club here so we can draw people in and get and buy and sell and swap radios. So we got a list from the ARCA of people that had attended the conference that lived in this general area. And we sent out invitations, and we set up a meet at the Holiday Inn in Elgin, which is where the ARCA meet was, and we sent for February 16th, 1980. Well, the night before, it was 17 below zero with icy roads.
Beautiful.
And we thought, no one is going to show up at this because, I mean, it was just ridiculous. So we thought, well, the two of us will get there anyway. Well, 55 people showed up.
All right.
And we were just absolutely amazed, you know, that so many people would show up at this first meet. So that's how our club started.
Well, you know, and I was going through my newsletter here, and you guys have an event coming up February 5th, this weekend, apparently. Is this one of your regularly scheduled swap meets you've got coming up?
Yes, so this is one of our regular meets that we have during the year. We actually have six total meets during the year every couple of months. And this one is going to be at the American Legion Hall in Carroll Stream, and they have the Boy Scouts are there, and we have a Boy Scout breakfast for $4, a huge breakfast, and all the coffee and orange juice you want. And we draw a pretty nice group, even for our smaller meets.
Well, I hope your weather is better than your very first one as a club. And now, where's Carroll Stream in relationship to Chicago for the audience, so we get an idea where you guys meet?
Okay, it's southwest of Chicago. It's probably 30 minutes or so from the downtown Chicago area. It's right off of two major intersections, so easy to get to.
Now, I understand from reading through your magazine here, because in the section for advertising, I guess you have about 400 subscribers, so I guess that would be your membership is about 400 or so. Is that
right?
The current size? You just about 400 members?
Yes, that is. I checked with our membership person, and that is our membership at this particular time. It had gone down like a lot of the clubs had gone down, but lately we've been going back up again, so we're encouraged.
Well, you know, it was it's interesting because I was looking over your website as well, and I saw some of the folks who were on, you know, on board with the club, and you know, certainly some familiar names. Daniel Hsu, many of us have seen articles he's written for Antique Radio Classified. He always has a good story or a good restoration story. Chuck Schwark, who's over at the Philco repair bench as well, and I know you see him frequently over at the Philco forum and philcoradio.com with his pal Ron Ramirez. So I saw a few familiar names, and another guy I know, I see his ads all the time, and I visited his website a little bit, Jerry Wieland, who's always got something to sell and I guess does a lot of nice restoration work as well. So, you know, these guys are very dedicated to the hobby. You're lucky to have them.
Well, this is kind of a hotbed of radio, Chicago, and we have some wonderful, wonderful longtime members, and so and some good volunteers. So we really enjoy our meets and our club.
Well, you know, and it's only right that Chicagoland should have such a great radio club because, you know, I'm always amazed, and, you know, maybe it certainly was probably helpful from a distribution point of view, but, you know, you look back at who was based out of Chicago. We had Zenith in Chicago, Belmont Radio in Chicago. I believe Admiral Radios came from Chicago. Yeah. All kinds of manufacturers out in your neck of the woods, and there's certainly a lot of rich radio history out there as well.
Absolutely. Scott, of course, was from this area, which, you know, and so much in the whole Midwest. So it's a shame that they're gone. Zenith Radio was right near my office for many years, and it's just a shame that it is now gone. They just recently took the sign down that was there, too. So,
well, I hope somebody got that.
I hope so, but it was huge, so I don't know. But we all hated to see these companies go, but that's the way things are now. So now, we're trying to preserve what we can.
That's right. That's what we're dedicated to. That's why we do this show. And when you were mentioning that Zenith was near where you worked, was that the big facility over on Dickens? Was that there?
Yes.
Now, they... Go ahead. They took that over from another company, didn't they?
Pardon?
Didn't they take that over from another company? They got the extra space. There was somebody, I believe, who went out of business. Was it Gruno? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure of that. But I know then they moved up to Glenview, which I had moved my office, so then I was close to that place, too. And now that's Aon. So, it was great history. Zenith was a huge name, and it started here, of course. And the Zenith headquarters had a number of the old sets in their lobby, so you could just come in and look at them. They even had some of the early TVs in there, and the person who was the PR, who's head of PR for Zenith, got together a bunch of stuff, and some years back, along with the help of a number of our Zenith collectors, an exhibit was put at one of our meets that is just was an outstanding exhibit of Zenith. So that was one of the highlights that we had one year.
Well, that's just it's a fascinating company, and the history of a lot of these radio companies is, you know, a very interesting story unto itself. But Zenith in particular, for anybody who's read the Bryant and Cohn's book, you look back at some of the stuff that Zenith was doing, some of the cutting-edge stuff they were putting together, and they do it. I guess they were advertising that was the largest radio manufacturing facility all on one level, was right there at their Chicago headquarters. And those guys even found some of the speeches that Commander McDonald was making to the employees. And this goes back to the 30s when they were, you know, trying very hard. They really weren't laying a lot of people off. They were paying small bonuses in many instances, and it's just amazing stuff that they were making such, you know, great equipment during the Depression. They had a pretty stable workforce. The management was very dedicated to the employees, and the employees seemed very dedicated to the management, and it really showed in their product, which is why with collectors, I know they're a very hot commodity these days.
Yes. Well, John Taylor, who's PR man for Zenith, one time lent our club a silent movie showing the production of Zenith battery radios. And
wow.
They went through the whole thing, and it showed how they were made. And I put some music to it, and it went through the whole process. And then they went up to the top of their plant. They had it all crated in the way they were going to ship it, and someone dropped the crate from the top floor down to the concrete, then ran down the steps opened up the concrete and held up the radio, showing that they packed them so well that nothing was broken.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, that's the type of thing for anybody who's ever had to pack and ship a radio and send it to somebody else in some other part of the country, you know, could certainly appreciate, because that's the way you have to pack them today between UPS and the Postal Service and FedEx. Sometimes they're not too kind to it. But the great thing about Zenith is not only, you know, their iconic stuff from the 30s, but where they were such, you know, a holdout, they were one of the last men standing in the radio game. A lot of the nice AM/FM sets that they had made, even very late in the company's history, which, you know, you talk to a lot of, you know, people who aren't in the collecting hobby, and they say, ah, who wants to listen to shortwave, and who wants to listen to AM? There's nothing on it. But when you can produce one of those nice, big, you know, sort of early hi-fi AM/FM Zenith sets with the big speaker and tweeters in it, they say, oh, well, you know, that's still pretty good stuff. And, of course, there's a lot of more music content, too, on FM, which lends itself to listening to the FM a lot. So, you know, I'm going to ask you one of my – this is my – I'm so proud of myself. This is one of my little – you know, not that I know much of anything, but one of my little Zenith trivia pieces. Do you know why on all those Zenith AM/FM sets they have a little dot near the number 100 on the FM band?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, this is maybe the one thing I do know that there's so much I have to learn in this hobby. But apparently, they always dotted that as sort of a tribute. They were running one of the nation's first FM stations back in the early 40s, right out of Chicago. And it was geared, right. You know, they played a lot of classical music. They played a lot of stuff to sort of soothe and help relax the wartime production workers. And I always used to wonder, I'd be tuning around, and on every Zenith AM/FM I'd have this dot. You know, I talked it over with a few different guys, and I said, well, that's because they wanted you to be able to, well, one, if they were still on that frequency, they'd like you to be able to find it. But it was sort of a tribute to that. And I said, wow, that is just so cool, you know, that they continue to do it. You know, it's so rare today that anybody bothers to remember anything about their company. So, hey, you know,
I learned something.
Well, you know, I learn every time I go to a meet or I have a guest, I come out much the richer for it. But, you know, one other thing I was very interested, I was very pleased, too. I saw in your magazine plans for Radio Fest, and you guys team up with the club up in Wisconsin and with our pal down at the Vintage Radio and Phonograph Society down in Texas, Jim Sargent, who's been a guest on the show. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Radio Fest?
Yeah.
That sounds like a big deal.
Yeah, well, Jim Sargent this past year for the first time was our auctioneer. Prior to that, Harry Blessy, who was a previous president, was our auctioneer and did a great job. And Jim Sargent came in, and we were all concerned, although we heard how wonderful he was, and he did just an outstanding job. And we had a great auction, a lot of wonderful things, and he agreed to come back again next year. So we are very, very happy. Plus, we have one of our local members, Ron Steinberg, who has a company, Rentcom, brings in all this amazing audio-video equipment. So they have, you don't have to hold up the sets anymore. They have a huge screen in front, and video cameras take pictures of the sets as they're being auctioned off. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Jim Sargent was absolutely fabulous. I can't say enough about him.
Well, that's cool. You know, it's great because if you don't get a good spot or you're kind of in the back of the room, you know, you get to see all the stuff. And, you know, one thing I'm upset when I'll have him on again sometime because, you know, here I am. I was talking with a guy who not only is associated with the radio club down in Texas, but he's an auctioneer, and I wanted to hear his patter. You know, I wanted to hear, here we go, 5, 5, 5, 5. I didn't get a chance, so I don't know if that's his style, but I've always wanted to talk to somebody who could really do that, you know. So, like, I'll have to get him to give that spiel the next time he's on, so.
Yeah, that would be good. And then Greg Hunolt, who's the president of the Wisconsin Club, is kind enough to get together our speakers, and we have a wonderful array of speakers at Radio Fest every year. I mean, we've had Bob Paquette on microphones. We've had Eric Wienes. Ron Ramirez was here. I mean, we have a number of people. Plus, every year we usually have some type of restoration, be it cabinet, electronic, or both. We have a ham panel where people talk about that, and last year, and we're going to have it again this year, tube audio, which has gotten so hot.
We're doing
a panel on that, too. So we always have a number of wonderful speakers, and it's just a great event. And like everything else, our membership and our even the Radio Fest went down with eBay and with all the other things. And then we got new blood in our club. It started with Harry Blessy and then Dave and Julia Bart and now Olin Schuler, and they've brought new ideas in. We always have a wonderful display at Radio Fest. Last year we had some amazing Atwater Kent stuff, and this year we're going to do Marconi and the Titanic. And so just a lots of stuff to do and see in our contest. Jeff Olick and I run the contest, so we always have wonderful things there. So it's a lot of fun. It's really great, and we have a banquet with entertainment. So Radio Fest is a big deal for us, and we really enjoy it. And it's actually, we draw about 1,000 people.
Oh, that's super.
So we get a lot of people. And the nice thing about all of our meets is if somebody wants to just come and look around or even buy, there is no charge.
Oh, that's super.
They can come in. They don't have to belong or anything, other than the one meet that we have combined with the Ham Fest. And they run that, so there is, I think, a $7 charge. But
very modest.
We do encourage people to join and everything, but they can come in the first time or two and just see what's going on. So it's great for the general public as well as people that are just starting in the hobby.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, just, you know, for the listening audience, that's an event that runs over 3 days, right, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And, you know, it's just a nice celebration of radio. And the thing I really admire about an event like that is, you know, it's not just buying and selling old radios and, you know, talking about repair. It's a celebration of, you know, the broader product that is radio. It's the museum quality radios that some people are going to bring. It's the discussions that people are going to have about the technology or the presentations, tying it in with historical events or historical figures within the radio community. So it really gives people a broader sense of why people get excited about radio. It's not necessarily just, well, here's an old piece of wood with some tubes in it, and yeah, that's kind of fun to look at, but you know what? It wears thin after a while. You know, a lot of people who are in the radio collecting community also still like to listen to radio. They like to talk about old-time radio programs, and they love to hear about the people, the pioneers, who brought us some of these great sets. So that's a great event, and I wish you luck with that. And it's nice to see that you kind of split it right up, you know, the middle of the country. We come up from Texas up to Illinois,
yes,
all the way up to Wisconsin. So I know it's always nice because you see certain sets in certain parts of the country, and I'm sure in the Chicago area you guys must have a little bit of everything. We've had so many great manufacturers there.
Oh, yes, and we even get people from Canada come down and, a few people from out of the country. And we sometimes will tie it in. For a while, Dr. Ralph Machow had this huge, huge museum in Elgin, Illinois, and we used to have that open every year. Unfortunately, he passed away, and they had an auction of his stuff. But that was a major thing for people to come down and see. So sometimes we tie it in. We've had the Motorola Museum, which is here too. Sometimes we've had buses that go back and forth to the various locations. So there's a lot going on.
Well, that sounds like a trip. And I just like to take a minute here to remind everybody, this is Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. You have scaled the Mount Everest of the radio world. This is the zenith of the independently produced radio experience. We're here at 1330 AM on the glorious standard broadcast band and streaming on the net. Our guest tonight is Barry Janov of the Antique Radio Club of Illinois. And Barry, just how about yourself? How long have you been collecting radios for?
Well, I started, we were out with some friends in the late 70s, and they were antiquing, and I saw radio in there, and I used to build my own stuff when I was a kid, so I thought, oh, that looks neat, so I bought it, and I think I paid $12.50 for an old GE with a handle on the top and the tapestry, and I brought it home, got it, and it was working.
Wow.
And some friends came over, and they said, I'll buy that from you, I'll pay you double what you got, and I thought, I think I'll keep it. So that's how I started in it. And it gradually grew, and then of course meeting other people that with the same hobby, that
sure
is where it really grew. And you know, you learn more, and you can call people and find out, you know, what is this, and when was this made, and it's just been a great thing.
Now, let's see, do you do restoration work on your own as well? Are you more of a cabinet guy, or do you do a little all-around work on your sets?
I have two of my friends in the radio club that do my electronic restoration.
Very good.
Other than a tube or a soldering a joint, that's about my electronic. But I do cabinets, and I enjoy the history of radio, and so that's where I am. But I have friends of mine that do the other part, and it works great. And we go to different meets together. We'll go up to the Michigan meet. We'll go up to Minnesota meet together. And we've become really great friends, and the camaraderie I find in these clubs and the meets, you just can't get it on the internet.
You meet a lot of gentlemen and a lot of nice ladies too at these events. It's I've yet to really have a bad experience. Now, do you have a favorite company that you like to collect? Do you have a favorite manufacturer, or do you like to have just if it's a neat looking set and it's what catches your eye? Is that what turns you on? What do you prefer? Do you have any preferences?
All of the above, but I probably started out earlier getting a bunch of different things, early batteries, but then I kind of had a fixation on Marconi. So I picked up some, they're hard to find, early Marconi, and then I got some AC Marconi and Marconi signs, and so I did a lot of that. Then I went into novelty tube-type radios, and now that I've run out of space, I've been collecting mostly microphones. They don't take up as much room.
No, that's, I mean, how many consoles can you cram in? You know, it's just,
right.
it's the problem we all face. And, again, it's always why these meets are great opportunities. So I know there are some people who will take a collection and say, I'm going to get every Zenith in their line from 1947 on. And, you know, they say, well, that's enough. I've had it with the Zeniths. And all of a sudden, you know, they sell off that collection, and now I've moved on, and I'm Mr. Philco. You know, so it's interesting to see how some people turn things over. And it gives them a chance, too, to give a great set and something that they know how it performs to somebody else in the hobby, maybe swapping it or selling it, and they get to pass that on to somebody else that they know, you know, is appreciative of it and is going to take care of it. So how many sets do you have now crammed in there? In your collection?
Well, I probably have 100 to 150 sets and about almost the same number of microphones and all that I've been doing that. And so I've had many, many more over the years. But like you say, you swap them, you whatever, and it's great that somebody else has them. Occasionally at the meet, someone will come up, do you remember that set that you sold me? I just love it. It's my favorite. And that does my heart good. I mean,
it
if someone else is enjoying it.
Now, do you have a favorite? Is there anything that if you just had to give them all, everything else up, but which one would you keep out of them all?
Well,
that's a toughie, huh?
it is a toughie because it changes all the time.
I
have
know.
An AK-5 that I really like. I've had for years and I got early on. And my wife has, believe it or not, one set that she likes, and it's a Radiochron Cathedral with a clock in it.
Oh, those are very, that's something, a little something different.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Very.
Interesting what you don't want to part with. And it's funny, too, because you find something neat and you get it restored and it plays well. And, you know, you kind of fall in love with that for a little while. And then the other one that you found, finally you get that one playing well and you kind of gravitate over to that. But then you come back in a few months and you say, hey, you know, that one still really sounds good. So one goes up, you know, one goes back downstairs, one comes back upstairs. But
that's right. And I know, I don't know about you, but when I go to the meets and I'll see things or I'll go to a flea market or I'll go whatever, and then I come home and I've got better stuff in my basement than I've seen out there sometimes, which is stuff you haven't seen for a while. Perhaps you packed up or it was a project radio that
right.
you never got to.
Well, bring them to the next swap, you know. I mean, the other thing, though, too, is, and I say this, you know, with my sort of my litmus test for a good meet is if you leave the building and you say there's three or four things stuck in your head that you say, you know what, I really should have got that. You know, then you know you've been to a good meet, and you know, hopefully
right.
we'll have a good one coming up. We have Radio 43 that the New England Club is going to be sponsoring up here in Westford, Mass., and that used to be the John Terry Antique Radio Classified Winter Radio Spectacular, and it snowed on our first meet in October out there, if you can believe that or not, and it's been, you know, an unbelievably mild winter. So we're kind of looking down the calendar here at the 19th with the fingers crossed, you know, hoping that we'll get some of that nice sunny 50-degree weather and we'll get a turnout. So, hey, Barry, I just really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for sharing some information about the Illinois Antique Radio Club. Now, you guys can be found. You could just Google it, right? It's ARCI, Antique Radio Club of Illinois. Is that the official title?
That is the official title. Our email is antique-radios.org. There's a dash between antique and radios, all small, and you can go on there and find our website and go from there. So,
well, very good, Will.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you being on, and good luck at your meet this weekend. I hope you find something nice to bring home.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you for the opportunity.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it that you bottom dollar, you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown. Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. I love it that you bottom dollar, you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday could not shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things that they never do on Broadway. The time of their life. I saw a man and he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, Chicago.
Well, that's for all of our friends out in the Antique Radio Club of Illinois, Mr. Sinatra, and nothing says it better about Chicago than that. And apologies to Barry. I think you were coming back there with a little something else to add in, and I'm sorry if I moved along too fast. I did not mean to be too brief. We appreciate you being on Tube Talk tonight. So, though some would tell you that, you know, radio is dead and nobody listens to radios anymore, I am here to say nay, nay. Not only do we listen to radio, we listen to it on the glorious radios of old. We're dedicated to their preservation and their continued use. They are time capsules full of interesting technology still here for us to enjoy. And preserving this heritage is our raison d'être, as they would say over in France, our reason for being. That's why we're on the air, and we hope you enjoy this evening's program. Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to reach the show, you can reach us at tubetalk1@gmail.com. Drop us whatever you might have in the way of comments, feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you.
Kalamazoo, zoo, 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 zoo. Here's some more Glenn Miller. Just really can't get too much of that. A little more Glenn Miller. And thanks again for joining us here on Tube Talk. This is the show for the radio enthusiast. We're glad you could spend a little time with us here this evening. Tell a friend. Come on out to a meet. Get into the hobby. Coolest hobby on the face of the planet. So nice and very smooth. Thanks for listening to the show. And if you'd like to get in touch with us and tell us if you enjoyed the show, you can reach us at tubetalk1@gmail.com. Once again, thanks for listening. Good night now.